This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart, the seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
What's the mood in Reds camp? Let's get right into it. You're down there in Arizona right now. What's that mood, and is it weird not having Joey Votto around? Been a staple for a lot of years.
I think it is, in a sense, simply because we've had Votto here for the last 17, 18 years. And I think anytime you have an icon and possibly a Hall of Famer, it makes things a little different. But there are so many young kids running around, and the energy is so high. And I think, too, I'll say this. I think that Votto found a place in Toronto, and I think ultimately that's where he's going to find his finish to his career. I think once that happened, it kind of let Reds people let it go a little bit, because I think, you know, everybody cares about Joey. He's been here a long time. He was a great player here. I think that if he was still hanging out in the balance, I think you would still hear some talk about that, especially with some of the injuries that we've had here in the last few days.
Yeah, and you know, we had careers where we both played for several different teams. Yeah, I was in Cincinnati for five. I ended up logging 7 years with the Mariners. I had a few stops on the way. So yeah, Mariners to me is kind of my home. But you know, it's different for guys like Joey Votto, for guys like Barry Larkin, who you still work with, who from start to finish, that's all they've known. Is one team. And then all of a sudden, you know, if you date back to the Tony Gwynns or the Cal Ripkins, guys that were there for so long, it's got to be a little bit of a shock for him. You know, we're at the end. We all know when the end of our rope is kind of near. He probably knew his time in Cincinnati was done, but that doesn't mean you're done. Hit a first pitch homer in his first AB in Toronto. Yeah. But that's got to be a little different for a guy like him. Like, wait a minute, I've gone to this camp for 18 years in a row, and now I'm going to some enemy territory.
I think for Joey, it's probably a resurgence of energy. I think anytime you get that late in your career, you're looking for something that gives you that same hype, that same adrenaline rush, that same push from a motivational standpoint that came back when you were a rookie. And I think he has that in Toronto, specifically because that's where he grew up. I mean, that was his hometown team. That was his favorite club when he was growing up. And I think, too, if you look at it from a statistical standpoint, I mean, he's only 25 hits behind Larry Walker for the all-time Canadian hit king. And I know in his heart, I mean, it may not be the forefront of his mind, but somewhere that's an important issue for him.
Yeah, we had him on the podcast, and he talked about his growing up in Canada, and that's kind of been his team. Looking at this Reds team now, like you said, young, a lot of energy, a lot of excitement. I remember when I was getting older and I was looking at those young players going, wow, I used to be that guy. You're getting to see it up front. A year ago, they won 82 games under David Bell. Let's be honest, if we're going to talk about divisions in the game, National League and American League, American League Central and the National League Central are probably two of the weakest divisions. But with the new schedule system, they don't beat up on each other within the division like we used to. It's balanced. So let's talk about last year a little bit, what you saw. Obviously, I want to touch on L.A. De La Cruz. Physically, from what I see, freaky type athlete. When I say freaky, I mean it in a good way. But last year, let's go good, bad, and the ugly.
I think last year, the pitching staff really had a tough time really getting a foothold to begin the season. I think anytime you're a young staff and you have great arms, a lot is expected of you. And I think a lot is still expected of that pitching staff. Do they have the arms? Yes, they do. Do they have the experience? Well, they're getting there. And I think that's a big key for this club, because when they were on the run last year, they won 12 ball games in a row right in the middle of the year. And nobody really expected them to even get into the hunt, much less have a chance on the last series of the year. And they got themselves back into the race. And I think a lot of it had to do with the promotions of guys like you mentioned, Ellie De La Cruz and Matt McClain. I think it also had something to do with this pitching staff getting healthy, being able to go out and execute on a day-to-day basis every fifth day for the starters. I think what really happened with this club, unfortunately, is as they got into September, and Brett, you know this, you're a young player and you're used to playing 5 months every year. And that's what you do when you're coming up through the minor leagues. And all of a sudden that 6 month jumps on your back. And not only are you playing, you're playing to get into the playoffs. Every single day matters. And I think they just ran out of gas. I think they ran out of gas collectively. I don't think it was one or two guys. I think it was the whole bunch of them. And I think they know that now. And I think they'll use that for fuel moving into 2024.
Take your business further with the smart and flexible American Express Business Gold Card. It offers flexible spending capacity that adapts to your business. You can also earn up to $395 in annual statement credits on eligible purchases at select business merchants. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/businessgoldcard.
It's interesting you bring up that schedule because, you know, I've got a son that's playing in the minor leagues. I know you have a son playing at Jackson Academy. Is that right?
Yes.
And isn't it amazing when we're talking to these kids and we're telling, once the season starts to get long, you know, you start off in high school, you've got a limited. Get to college, they stretch it out on you a little bit, play some summer ball. Then you go into the minor leagues and it's, oh, wait a minute, 140 games? And it's like, I said, 140 games, that's nothing. That's like a vacation. We got 162 plus spring training. And if you're lucky and fortunate enough, you get that postseason. You have a great year. You get 190 games that you log. So for a veteran player, for guys that have been around, it's really not a big deal. It's what we do. We plan for it. But you're right. For a young team up and coming, you're used to that five-month schedule. With today's and today, the way the way they treat the young players. I mean, there's days off. There's scheduled days off. So you're not even playing as much as we used to play back in the day where that bell rang and it's like, I go until I'm physically showing signs that I need a rest.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a tough grind, 162 games in 182 days. But you mentioned Ellie De La Cruz. And when I saw him last year and he came to the big leagues, not really anything that he couldn't do as far as throwing the baseball, hitting the baseball, elite in every category. And by elite, I mean a guy that can throw the ball 100 miles an hour from the shortstop position, and he can hit the ball at 120 miles an hour off the bat. And he runs like you would think he was Usain Bolt. I mean, this guy, there's just not anything that he can't do if you had a tools contest. I think anybody that's that toolsy, especially a 6'5 shortstop, There's still a lot of smaller things that you have to get done to be great at the big league level. And I think he realizes that. I think he's worked on that and continues to work on that. We've already seen a bit of a swing change here in spring training, and it's proved great dividends. And all it really was just kind of shortening the leg kick. Basically, not so much of that softball kind of big leg kick and big, huge swing trying to see how far you can hit it, but basically just get the barrel of the bat to the baseball. And it's shown up well for him, not only with the fact that he's making better contact, but he's actually walking more.
Yeah. And I looked at when he kind of burst on the scene last year, this is a guy, this is a franchise type guy you put on the cover of the media guide. He's got all the flair. He's kind of reminds me a little bit from personality, kind of like a Fernando Tatis when he first came up. I'm right in your face, and kind of like a rock star mentality, not just how he plays, but how he looks.
Yeah.
I watched him last year. Obviously, the skill set is there. He stole 35 bases, hit some home runs, hit 235, punched out a lot. And I know today's game, We're a little more forgiving about the punch out. I understand that. But I looked it up. He punched out 144 times in 388 at bats. That's not a lot of contact. You mentioned the leg kick, and you're seeing that in spring training. I looked at his spring training stats. I think as of today, he's hitting 345, which spring training, yeah, we don't put that much credence into it. But sometimes with a younger player, I think it can be viable as far as seeing his adjustments.
Yeah, I think for all of the guys that we have, and you can list them off. I mean, Matt McClain kind of going through that same spot. Young player came up.
Young second baseman, yeah.
Young second baseman. Christian Encarnacion Strand, who is going to play first, a little bit of third, mostly first. Those three guys, they've got some serious talent. I mean, they look to me as though they're going to be the guys that will carry this team forward. You've got some other players that are out there. I mean, we lost TJ Friedl 2 days ago. I don't know how long we're going to lose him, but my bet is probably a good 5 to 6 weeks. And he dove for a ball in center field. He broke his wrist, right wrist. And, you know, there's just not a whole lot you can do about that. It's not like you can take a magic pill and that wrist be better the next day. He's out. So the Reds not only have got to put themselves in a position internally to cover that spot, whether it be Fairchild and Benson in a traditional matchup role, or if they're going to rotate some guys out there, or if they're going to go out. And how many times have we seen this, Brett? Late in spring training, somebody goes down, and all of a sudden the trade market begins to pop all over the place.